Praise the Lord. Our pastor said, your hallelujah is too cold. I said the same thing. I said, praise the Lord. All our newcomers, I'm so glad when I saw you coming out. And I pray that this day will be a great day for you of worshiping the Lord in the Upper Light Bible Church in Jesus' name. All over the world, online, in every continent, every country, every congregation, every church location, my heart is with you. And I praise the Lord that we're here together. And of course, our Alpha location. We call it Abeokuta. Put those hands together. Amen. I thank the Lord for dominion. Fresh dominion. Full dominion. And complete dominion. And I pray, as a result of the impact of this crusade and this service this morning, I pray that this dominion will be perfect, permanent, perpetual in every life in Jesus' name. As we come to the service today, we still continue the theme, the subject, and the topic of dominion. Before I tell you what it is, let's pray together. Father, we thank you at this time, and we bless your name because we know you are worthy to be worshipped. And we come to worship you today. We pray everything we need of the dominion from heaven, you pass on to everyone, inscribe it in every heart, every life, in Jesus' name. And we pray, Lord, our lives will take on a new power, a new strength, and a new dominion every day of our lives, in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, because we know you have answered. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. I will not release you to sit down if you don't give me a good amen. Amen. I love that. God bless you. You can sit down now. Today we come to the subject of walking like the master in full dominion. Walking like the master in full dominion, walking with the master. We walk like the master when we're able to walk with him. Walking for the master. We walk like him when we know we're doing it for him. I'm not just talking leisure work. I have a goal, I have a destination, and I have a purpose that I am walking, making progress for the Lord. We walk with him when we walk by him, by his strength, by his grace, by his power. And the only way we can walk with the Savior, the only way we can walk like the master, the only way we can walk and make progress and get to the place he wants us to get to, is that we walk by his power. We walk in his power. When he gives that power, and we say we come into Christ, and Christ comes into us, because he lives in us, because of that we can walk like him. Now, when a child is born, the first thing that child sees is that daddy and mommy and the brothers and the sisters and the siblings, they are walking. He is not able to walk. The desire of his heart, that little child, is that one day he'll not just be crawling, he'll not just be standing, he will walk. And then when he walks like the father, when he walks like daddy, that brings the joy. And when somebody comments, this is Mr. So-and-so's son. He walks exactly like the father. It brings joy to the father. It brings joy to the son. And when we have the Savior, we have the Redeemer, we have the Master, the Messiah, and then we walk like him, and the angels are able to comment that he or she, a believer, a disciple, a child of God, a servant of God, he walks like the Master. It brings joy to heaven, and it brings joy in our heart, and it brings joy around us. Now, when we're talking about walking like the Master in full dominion, you are not the first person to walk like the Master. And you cannot be imagining, can I do it? Yes. Others before us. D for Daniel. Daniel walked like the Master. In Babylon, he lived a life. He sustained a life. He maintained a life that made him not to be a compromiser. Daniel obeyed Edom for all. The ark of the Lord had been rejected by this and that, but he said, I want the representation of the Lord to be in my home. That man walked with the Lord. And for Moses, look at Moses, everything God told him to do, he did everything according to the word of the Lord. We can do it. Moses walked like the Master, with the Master. Isaac, we just learned about Isaac today. And Isaac listened to the father, Abraham, and like Abraham said, the God with whom I walk, and he sustained me, he will send this angel before you. Isaac listened to that, and the joy in Abraham's heart is that Isaac walked with the Master. And in fact, God said, I know he will command his children. They will walk and they will obey my voice. And so Isaac walked with the Lord. Noah, that preacher of righteousness, he walked with the Lord. He found grace in the sight of the Lord. The nation, the community, the place where he lived was corrupt, but then that man found grace in the sight of the Lord. Isaiah, I and the children whom God has given me were for signs and for wonders in the land. He walked with the Lord. Obadiah, he walked with the Lord, and he had the possession of holiness, and the possession that the Lord had given from heaven. He walked with the Lord. Nehemiah walked with the Lord. He was in the palace, but eventually he heard a work to be done. And then he responded to that. And Nehemiah came up and he said, Lord, by your help, by your grace, this is what I will do now. If all those people that spell dominion and they live the life of a person having dominion, it comes to your turn. It comes to my turn. We can walk with the Lord, and we walk with the Lord in his grace, in his strength, in his power. And that power is coming more abundantly in your life today in Jesus' name. The topic, walking like the Master in full dominion. We're looking at 1 John chapter 2, and I'm reading from verse 6. It says, this to us, he that saith, he abideth in him. He's going to save, born again. Now he abides in him, saved. Now he abides, justified. The sins are forgiven. He is set free. And he says, now I'm in Christ. I abide in him. I am for Christ. I abide in him. I live in Christ. And he lives in me. I abide in him. He that says, he abideth in him, ought himself also so to walk, even as he, Christ the Savior, even as he, Christ the Messiah, even as he, Christ the Master, even as he walked. That's our calling. That's our commitment. That's our consecration. That he lived in dominion, Christ. He maintained dominion, Christ. Every step of the way, he had dominion. And he's calling upon you that you are saved, you are born again, you are a child of God, and you are in him, and you live and you walk in that dominion. He that says, he that testifies, he that professes, he that confesses, he abideth in him, ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. There are three things we're looking at. Number one, we have the decisive walk of faith in the world. In the world in which we live, in the community in which we live, there is the decisive faith in the world that we walk by. Number two, the deliberate walk of true followers in his word. He's giving us his word. He's giving us the map. He's giving us the road. He's giving us the map. And he says, you walk according to my word. And they will have the deliberate walk of true followers in his word. Number three, the determined walk. Now, somebody cannot walk except he determines, I'm going to rise up, I'm going to walk, I'm going to get to that place. You need that decision, and you need that determination. The determined walk of the faithful in his way. Let's come to number one. Number one, the decisive walk of faith in the world. In 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, reading from verse 7, for we walk by faith and not by sight. We walk by faith and not by sight. Who are the we? Walking by faith. Look at verse 17. In verse 17, it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, those are the we. Those are the people, they are in Christ because of salvation. They are in Christ because of conversion. They are in Christ because of the new nature the Lord has put within them. And he says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. It tells us in chapter 4 of that same 2 Corinthians, verse 13, it says, we, those are the people that walk by faith, we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. It tells us in verse 18, while we look not at the things which are seen, the things that happen around us, the noise that happens around you, the sight that happens around you, the situation happening around you, it says, we don't look at that. We're looking at the Master. We're looking at the Savior. We're looking at the Redeemer. We're looking at the one that is going before us. We're watching his steps. And because we're watching his steps, we take our steps after him. We look not at the things that are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. Those things will pass away. The things that jolt us, the things that disturb us, the things that distract us, the things that point another way to us, the temporal things, it says we don't look at them, but the things which are not seen are eternal. That's how we're able to walk by faith. And it's that same faith that saved us, the same faith that brought us into the kingdom, keeping us in the kingdom. The decisive walk of faith in the world. Three things. Number one, decisively walking by the faith of a forerunner. Number two, diligently walking in the faith of our fathers. Number three, daily walking, avoiding the footsteps of the faithless. Number one, decisively walking by the faith of our forerunner. Christ is a forerunner. He didn't only die for us, he lived to give us a good example, a perfect example as to how to live, how to walk, how to move, how to make progress in the kingdom of God. The forerunner. Look at Hebrews chapter 6, and I'm reading here from verse 18. It says that by two immutable, unchangeable, unalterable things, in the way in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Then in verse 19, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. In verse 20, it tells us, it says, whither the forerunner for us is entered. The forerunner, the one that goes before us, is the forerunner, and he did everything to please the Father. And now we are following after him, and he is made an high priest over forever after the order of Melchizedek. That's how we follow after him. How do we do that? We do it by faith, by the same faith that he had, and was able to stand, able to overcome every trial, every temptation, and at every crossroad. He said, this is the way the Father has ordained, and he walked in the way that the Father has ordained, and we walk by that same faith. Galatians chapter 2, reading from verse 20. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, it tells us, I am crucified with Christ. Unless ego is crucified, you cannot walk like Christ. If you're full of self, if you're full of pride, if you're full of yourself and full of ego, there's no way you can walk like him. He submitted himself, he surrendered himself, he gave himself, and it is when I surrender all, all to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. It is when ego, E-G-O, edging God out. That's ego. When you edge God out, God, don't talk to me now, I know what I'm going to do. God, don't lead me. Edging God out, that's your ego. Edging God out, when you say, God, don't instruct me, I know what I'm going to do. What I did last year, what I did last month, what I did last week, what I did yesterday, I'm going to do the same thing. I don't need any fresh revelation from you. Ego, edging God out. It is when that ego is cancelled, that pride is cancelled, that Adamic nature is crucified, that then we can walk by faith with the Lord. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ. No more pride, but Christ. No more ego, but Christ. No more Adamic nature, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Look at number two here. Number two, diligently walking in the faith of our fathers. Diligently walking in the faith of our fathers. You see people that read history, and they don't note what they read in history. They read the history of Abraham, of Enoch, of Abel, of Noah, of Sarah, of Isaac, of Joseph. They've read the history of Moses, and then what shall I must say? Time will fail me to talk about each of them, their fathers in the faith. And that's why it says faith of our fathers living still, faith of our fathers set before us, that we'll see how others walked, independent of the world in which they lived, independent of the ideas prevalent in their world, that they lived by faith as our fathers to show us example. And now, if we are going to walk progressively and successfully, we're going to walk in the faith and faithfulness of our fathers. Look at Romans chapter 4. We're looking at verse 12. Romans chapter 4, I'm reading from verse 12. It says, and the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham. Who also walk in the steps of the faith of Abraham, which he had been yet uncircumcised. Look at verse 16. In verse 16, it tells us, it says, therefore, it is of faith, salvation of faith, sanctification of faith, an appropriate walk of the Lord, it is of faith. That means we don't drop our faith in the church on Sunday. As we're going back home, we take that faith with us in the office by faith. At home, walk by faith. In your community, walk by faith. You walk in reference to the word he has given us. And it is that word that generates faith. And it is that word by which we live. We live an upright life, a righteous life, a Christ-like life by faith. And then he tells us, he says, therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end, the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of all. So look at verse 17. It says in verse 17, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, a promise given. And that promise became the path and the precept by which he walked. He was always walking in reference to that word that the Heavenly Father had given him. And he said, before him whom he believed, even God who quickeneth the dead and called those things which be not as though they were. And then in verse 18, he tells us who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Look at verse 20 there. In verse 20, he tells us that he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. He staggered not at the promise of God. Among those unbelievers, if you're going to walk like the master, those some believers were threatening, and those some believers will try to do something that may jolt you, intimidate you. But then, because you are not looking at them, you're looking at the master. You staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And then in verse 21, it says, I'm being fully persuaded. A person is going to walk by faith. he must be fully persuaded that the word of God is greater and higher, more important than the words of man. A person is going to walk by faith, he must be fully persuaded that the ideas of the world, they are nothing, and the projects of the world in comparison to the project of God for his life, they are nothing. A person is going to be fully persuaded and walk by faith, he must understand that all the comments and opinions of people all over the world, they mean nothing in comparison with the word that the Lord had given him. And if you are going to be fully persuaded and you say, I'm going to walk by faith, whatever comes and whatever goes, whatever happens, whatever does not happen, whatever I feel, whatever I don't feel, if you're going to walk by faith, you'll be fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. You will walk by faith. I said you will walk by faith. Look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 27. Hebrews chapter 11, we're looking at verse 27. By faith, by faith, by faith, he forsook Egypt. Now, you cannot leave the known for the unknown if you don't have faith. This is all you see. The financiers, the helpers, the supporters. If they are not there, you think you are done. You are gone. No future. If you don't have faith in the invisible one, in the Almighty, you will be depending on flesh, on the people of the world. You will not be able to forsake anything. You see, if I give up this, that sinful partner, if I give up this, that person that is the bully in my life, and then he might crush me and have something, there is more from where that came from. He threw something at me, and if I don't fear him and cringe and be subjected to him, there is more from where that came from. If you're like that, you can't forsake anything. But you know, if you're going to walk by faith, faith in the Lord, faith in the Almighty God, faith in the Eternal One, you must be able to know this one in comparison with God, this one is nothing. In comparison with the Almighty, this temporal thing, this earthly thing is nothing. That is what helps you. That is what aids you. That is what supports you. That is what energizes you. That is what empowers you to walk by faith. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. Not fearing the wrath of the king. There are people in this life, they live their lives on the basis of fear. And the enemy has tied a rope in their leg, the rope of fear. If they want to move and progress, take that decision and move the right direction, the enemy pulls that rope and say, we're still here. The fear is still here. The timidity is still here. The terror is still here. Be careful what you do. Be careful what you look at. Be careful the direction you go. And then the fellow will quiet him down. I cannot. You'll never get to any peak. You'll never get to any summit. You'll never get to the place the Lord has ordained for you. When you fear Pharaoh, you fear Nebuchadnezzar, you fear Herod, you fear their magicians, you fear all the people that are supporting Pharaoh, but who are told by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Seeing him who is invisible. That's the way to live in our lives. When you're sick, you see him who is invisible. When you are terrified, and when you are intimidated, you look beyond that object of intimidation. You look at him who is invisible. And when things turn around and when it appears everything is upside down, those are things in the world, those are temporal things. You look at him who is invisible, you'll hear his voice, you'll feel his power, and you will understand the Lord will be with you every day of your life in Jesus' name. I was waiting for a good sunny Sunday. Amen. He will be with you. He will not leave you. And when you look at him who's invisible, you'll be stronger and stronger in every challenge that comes in your life in Jesus' name. Number three now is the daily walking, avoiding the footsteps of the faithless. Avoiding the footsteps of the faithless. Now, if we were to divide your world into two, if we were to divide our world into two, and we'll say those who walk by faith, then those who are faithless, the vast majority of the world, of your world, the people who are faithless. They even say it. They say, you know, I'm a doubting Thomas. They take pride in it. They say, seeing is believing. If I don't see it like Thomas, if I don't feel it like Thomas, if I don't put my finger into that wound, if I don't thrust my hand to his side, I will not believe. I hear God is doing this, God is doing that, but you know, I don't accept until it happens to me. The faithless, they're the majority in our world. And if you're going to walk by faith, you must avoid the footsteps of the faithless. We're looking at Deuteronomy chapter 32, and I read from verse 20. Chapter 32, reading from verse 20, and it says, I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end shall be. Why? Almighty God, a creator, a redeemer, the lover of every soul, why will you hide your face from some people and you want to see what their end will be? It says, because for they are a very froward generation, children in whom there is no faith. Think about that. Whatever you have, money, if you don't have faith, you don't please God. Education, if you don't have faith, you don't please God. Authority and position, if you don't have faith, you don't please God. Even if you have drunk water out of the rock before, if you don't have faith, you don't please God. It said, children in whom there is no faith. Think about your language. Is there faith in your language? Think about your action. Is there faith in your action? Think about your lifestyle. Is there faith in your lifestyle? Think about your proposals and all your dream and all your goal and the things you want to achieve. Is there faith there? Children in whom there is no faith. You want to avoid all the footsteps of the people who are faithless. And I pray you'll be a man of faith. You'll be a woman of faith. Well, the same. I was thinking that the amen of the women will be higher and stronger, more sonorous than the amen of the men, but looks like we're on the same level. Faith. We'll walk by faith in Jesus' name. And when we'll walk by faith, and we're diligent about that, and we do that daily, great things will happen in your life. You know, a man walking by faith, he can remove any mountain. A man walking by faith, he can stop the sun right there. A man walking by faith, he can tell the moon, stay where you are. A man walking by faith, he can walk through the Red Sea while the Egyptians coming are drowned. A man walking by faith can have the wonders of God in his life, in her life, every day of his life. I will walk by faith. You will. I said you will. And it will be good in your life. We come to point number two now. Point number two, we're looking at the deliberate walk of true followers in the word. You know, anything we do that gets results must be deliberate. Even look at writing. We're writing, and then somebody comes to ask you, say, what are you writing? Nothing in particular, I'm just writing. It's not deliberate. It doesn't write anything of value. It's walking. It's going somewhere. Where are you going? Really, I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. I'm just walking. No destination. And there is no deliberate effort that this is where I am going. And this is what I'm going to achieve. If you're going to walk successfully, progressively, it must be a deliberate walk. And it's according to the word of the Lord. Three things we're looking at. We're looking at number one, consistently walking with the Lord of the word. The Lord of the word. If there's anything God loves, he loves the word. And he exalts the word above his name. And you are consistently walking with the Lord of the word. Number two, courageously walking and the light of his word. Courageously walking. Let me serve you a notice. If you are a fearful person, a timid person, a person that is always looking at the faces of people, when they frown, your joy is gone. When they open their mouth and they show angry faces, all the ideal and the ideas you had inside you, everything evaporates. If you are not courageous, if you don't say, this is my life, I was born alone into the world, and when I go, I will go alone. And when I face the Almighty on that final day, I'll face him all alone by myself. All the people that intimidate you, they will not come and say, God, don't blame him, because we made him fearful. We made him intimidated that he could not do what you told him to do. They will not be there. You will stand alone before the Lord. That's the reason why, since they are not going to be there that day, they should not be there today. And courageously you are walking in the light of his word. Number three is conscientiously walking in line with his word. Look at number one there. Consistently walking. Number one, consistently walking in the ways the Lord of the word. Look at Amos chapter 3 verse 3. Amos chapter 3 verse 3. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Except they be agreed. The Almighty God says, this is the way, walk ye therein. Can two walk together except they be agreed? The Almighty says, except you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Can two walk together except they be agreed? The Almighty God says, follow peace and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. And two cannot walk together except they be agreed. If you see the word of God, you hear the word of God, and you disagree in your heart, any judge, any teacher, any part of the word of God, you cannot walk with God, because the two, God and man, the highest and the lowest on earth here, if you're going to walk with God, you must agree with God that says this is the way, and you'll walk therein. Look at Psalm 138. I'm looking at verse 2. Psalm 138. We're looking at verse 2. It says, I will worship towards thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. Look at this, the latter part. Look at that, the last line. Look at what God is saying here. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. Sometimes you hear people pray. And when you hear people pray, they mention the name of God. They adore God. They mention his name, his title, his attributes, everything about God here and there until your head will swell if you are listening to them. But they do not follow the way of God. The word of God that brings salvation. They don't know about the salvation of God. They don't know name, title, honor, attributes of God. And they shout that. And they run up and down. They say, God, you are this. And God, you are that. And they do not take heed to the word of God. All those people, God does not reckon with them. Because God has magnified his word above all his name. That's the reason why, if you claim to be born again, if you claim to be saved, you are consistently and constantly and wholeheartedly walking with the Lord of the word. It tells us in John chapter 8, reading from verse 31. John chapter 8, verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples also. I want to remind you that the word of Jesus still stands today. Anything is said about any area of your life, that word still stands today. There are people who think they have outgrown the words of Jesus. They say it's a new dispensation. And in the new dispensation in which we are now, all those words in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the direct words of Jesus, they do not matter to them. They are deceiving themselves. They'll be surprised when they get to the other side. They will not make it. Because it says, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Look at verse 32 there. Verse 32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Good amen there. Yeah. You know, if you're very observant and you're attentive, you will know where to insert your amen. And then the promises of God will be yes and amen in your life in Jesus' name. It says, and ye shall know the truth. Ye shall know the truth. Have you found that people that say, I'm a Christian, but you know, they don't want to know the truth. If there's something, an area of their lives, they're praying, oh God, don't let him mention that area. I don't want to know the truth about that area. Area of my family and my marriage and my character and my behavior, Lord, don't allow the preacher to go that direction. All I came for prayer. I came for power. They don't want to know the truth. But you know, if you want the blessings of the Lord to overflow in your life, ye shall know the truth. And it is when you're seeking the truth, when you love the truth, when you will not believe a lie. There are people that have strong delusion to believe a lie. But when you love the truth of the word of God and you say, Lord, is there any area of my life that is hidden from me? I want to hear. Tell me in a plain language, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Somebody there will be free today. You know, sometimes we're already born again, or even sometimes already sanctified. Sometimes we even already feel what the Holy Ghost, and there is something that is holding us back. There's something that is pulling us back. There's something that is delaying total victory and full dominion in our lives. And when you hear intently the word of God, and then you know that truth, and that truth will set you free. My prayer for you today is that anything in your life that is holding you back, even though you profess salvation, sanctification, and all the Christian experiences, whatever is holding you back from being at the very center of the will and the wonders of God, the Lord will make you to know the truth. And as you know that truth, the Lord himself, by his own power, the Lord himself, by his own grace, and the Lord himself, today he will make you to be totally free in Jesus' name. Look at number two here. Number two here is courageously walking in the light of his word. Courageously walking in the light of his word. Why do we make many promises in the house of God? And we say, Lord, I've made up my mind now. I've heard the word today. Anywhere I go this week, I'll begin to practice. And we make all the promises, all the consecration, all the commitment. I have heard. I cannot say I've not heard. Then you write it down. This point, I must carry it out. But you go back to where you came from. And the enemy knows all the decisions, your thoughts you took. And is waiting for you at the door. Welcome. You came. You've got dominion. Welcome. We're here, and I hope you're able to manifest that dominion. They're joking. They're trying to tease you. And then they say, what used to kind of jolt you, and what kind of disturbed you in the past? And the fear comes, and then timidity comes, and then you cringe. You say, another time. You know, that other time never comes. If you don't take the bull by the horn, that time never comes. It is when you say, I've made up my mind. Let the skies fall. Let anything happen. I am going to be obedient to the word of the Lord. And courageously, without the fear of man, you walk in the light of his word. That's when the victory will come. And your enemy will back out. Well, see, looks like now a new strength, a new vision, a new power, a new grace has come upon him. Looks like we cannot bottle him, bottle her, like we used to do. The Lord give you that power and that grace in Jesus' name. Courageously, like Daniel made up his mind that he will not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat. Although Babylon was terrible, Nebuchadnezzar was terrible, all the same, he said, this is me. I have only one life to live, and that life I will live courageously. How many days do we have on earth? And if you live some of those days in fear, in fretting, in cringing, in crawling, and you can't, you have the mind, you can't use your mind. You have the volition, you cannot use the volition. You have the decision making ability, you cannot use that. They reduce you to a zero man, a zero woman. But when you have the courage and you say, this is the word I have learned, I will walk by that word, nothing will conquer you again. All right, nothing will conquer me again. Amen. I say amen for you. Amen. Heaven says amen for you. Amen. Look at John chapter 8. I'm reading from verse 11. John chapter 8, verse 11. She said, no man, Lord. She was in the presence of the Lord. All the accusers came, and they accused her. We caught her, we saw her, we dragged her, we pulled her away from that thing. What do you say? She should be stoned. She kept quiet there, not knowing what the Lord will say. Whatever the Lord will say is the final. Whatever Pharisees say, whatever Sadducees says, whatever all those Judaizers say, they mean nothing. Whatever Christ says, that is the final thing. And he said, no man, Lord. And Jesus says unto her, neither do I condemn thee. He forgave the past. He erased the past. He blotted out the past so that you will now live in newness of life. You will live in newness of life. Yeah. Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. But not only for her. It's for you also. Look at verse 12. In verse 12, it says, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me, this I will know them. He that followeth me, this I will know the true followers. He that followeth me shall not walk in, tell me. But you know, some of those people in darkness, they have great influence, great authority. And many of them are bullies. They want to control your life. They want to put your life in their pocket. And you are coming in, and there are powers of darkness, personalities in darkness. All their goal, all their purpose is in darkness. They want you to cringe and they want you to crawl. And you say, hey, come on here. And you follow that man. They thought it's me you are following. Who are you following? I said, who are you following? Jesus. But they said, you are following that man, Kumuyi. No, but you are not following me. You are following Jesus. He will lead you to heaven. He will lead you to glory. And you have conviction. And you know, I'm not there every time. I'm not with you all the time. If you are following me, when I am not looking, when I'm not able to see you, you will dodge and you'll go and do something. But Jesus Christ is always there. And you are following him. If you're a true follower, he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. And no matter the personality of darkness, they will not influence you anymore. You will walk courageously. You will walk gallantly. And you will walk with real strength, valiantly, in Jesus' name. It says, but shall have the light of life. Look at number three here. Number three, we're looking at conscientiously walking in line with his word. When you do something conscientiously, your mind is there, your heart is there, your life is there, your attention is there. You're not looking here and there. You're conscientious, you're devoted, you're focused, and you're looking at this and you're saying, this is the way I'm going to walk there in conscientiously walking in line with his word. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 8. For we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. We can do nothing against the truth. The truth is like the rock of Gibraltar. If you try to punch it, you hurt yourself. You cannot hurt that rock. Christ is the rock of ages. It's there, eternal. If you try to kick against it, you hurt your leg. You cannot hurt the rock of ages. Look at that iron pillar. If you say, I don't like that iron pillar there, based on that foundation, and you knock your head on that pillar, you break your head, that iron pillar will remain. You cannot do something negative against the eternal truth. It's there. It says, for we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. I pray your life will be for the truth. Your way of life, your way of living, your action, your behavior, your lifestyle will support the truth in every way, in Jesus' name. Look at Daniel. This is a man. You remember Daniel? You remember Obed-Edom? You remember Moses? You remember Isaac? You remember Noah? You remember Isaiah? You remember Obadiah? You remember Nehemiah? That spelling dominion, those men of dominion, that the people that make up their minds that they are going to walk according to the truth, that's why they are dominion. It tells us in Daniel, the very first of them, D for Daniel, it tells us, it says, what Daniel purposed in his heart. Daniel purposed in his heart. Every decision you take outside your heart will eventually evaporate. Every decision you take by mouth without your heart, in the head without the heart, by emotion, other people, they're praying and they're boxing the air and they're crying and they're consecrating, and you see them and that moves you to emotion. Every decision you take with emotion without your heart will not stand. Sometimes it is the influence of a crowd, and every decision you take with the crowd, if your heart is not there, you're not going to be able to live by that decision. But now Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, for no, with the wine which he drank. You know, Daniel said, the man, the king, is a man of honor, but I don't put honor on his wine. He says, the man is a man of great title, I don't put that title on his meat. Daniel, why? Because I know great men often do foolish things. Because I know that honorable people, honored outside, they sometimes do debasing things. And so, I'm not following their name. I'm not following their honor. I'm following the word of God. And God has highly exalted his word above his name. I know what his word says about defilement, about corruption. Others may, I cannot. And Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of eunuchs that he might not defile himself. I will not defile myself. Say that. Now, there are people that give excuses. They give their lives in the hands of other people. They say, you know, Pastor, I'm not the one that defiled myself. She defiled me. The power of his life is in the hand of that lady. They say, Pastor, I'm not the one that defiled myself. He, that man, if you know the posture of the man, the power of the man, and the way that man, what he will do, if you don't listen to him, he is the one that defiled me. No, ultimately, you are responsible. Even Satan cannot defile you. I said Satan cannot defile you. His angels cannot defile you. His men cannot defile you. His prostitutes cannot defile you. It's in your hand. Say, it's in my hand. Say it now. They made me fall. Don't say that again. You made yourself fall. They defiled me. Don't say that again. You defiled yourself. They made me backslide. Don't say that again. You backslid yourself. It takes your heart, your decision, to say, I will not, and you will not. I said you will not. You know, to stand, your destiny is not in the hand of any man. Your decision, your progress is not in the hand of any man, because Daniel purposed in his heart. His father was not there. His mother was not there. He had been carried away into Babylon. That was not a city. He was in another city, a city of idolatry, a city of corruption. But he said, no matter how much corruption flows on the street of Babylon, I will not defile myself. And Daniel purposed in his heart that he will not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat. I don't care what the label is, the king's meat, it will not get to Daniel's mouth. You will not, it will not get to your mouth. No, the portion of the wine which he drank. You might see it on the billboard. You might see it you know, over television. You might see it at the publicized. And they say, everybody is taking it. Do you know that great man is taking this brand? Do you know that great woman? She's taking that. That doesn't matter to us. We are purposed in our hearts. We will not defile ourselves. And then he asked of the eunuchs, and he said that he might not defile himself. That's dominion. You have dominion. I have dominion. Conscientiously walking in line with his word. We come to point number three here. Point number three, the determined walk of the faithful in his way. The determined walk of the faithful in his way. Three things. Number one, personally walking in the narrow way of life. Number two, perilously walking in the broad way of the lost. Number three, purposefully walking in the way of the Lord. Number one, personally walking in the narrow way of life. In Matthew chapter 7, reading from verse 13, enter ye in at a strait gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. Broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Verse 14, because straight is the gate. That was straight there means small. It will take you, as you want to come into the kingdom, it will not take you and your sin. The gate is straight. It will not take you and your bad character. You have to drop that aside. It will not take you and your evil disposition. You have to drop that, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way. Narrow is the way. Narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Young people, let me use the key to open your box of understanding. The majority are often wrong. The minority are the people that are walking in the narrow way. There are young people that were born in our church here. And now, thank you very much. Now, they have seen what goes on in that fellowship, in that assembly. They've seen what happens in that congregation. They've seen what happens in all these new psychedelic fellowships. And liberty, talk about liberty, and talk about license, talk about doing anything, drinking anything, smoking anything. and they're still good members of that assembly. And then the boys and the girls, you know, messing up together, and their pastor, their new age pastor, modernistic pastor, knows about that, and he says, they're all children, they're young people, 20, 23, they're still children, 30, 35, they're young people, you know. If you don't allow them to do whatever they want to do, they will not come to church again. They come to your church, but they don't get to the kingdom of God. Broadway, way of liberty, and way of licentiousness, and way of immorality. And they say, that's my church. If that's your church, if it's the church on the Broadway, you will get to destruction, final, eternal destruction. But the narrow way that leads to life, that you are born again and your life is a new life. If any man, if any boy, any girl, any woman be in Christ, he or she is a new creature. All things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. That is the narrow way that leads to life. You will find it. I said you'll find that way. And then with the grace of God, in the strength of the Lord, you are walking in that narrow way that leads to life everlasting. Sometimes we parents, yes, we pray. We do more than praying. We parents, we have to be firm. Now, you cannot force the child, but at least you can declare your stand. You can stay back. You can say, my boy, you know, you're a dagger in my heart. You're walking in the Broadway. No, daddy, you don't understand. In the church I go, the fellowship I go, they preach this. I don't care what they preach. I see your lifestyle. I see what you're doing. You are not in the narrow path that leads to heaven. And you're a dagger in my heart. If it's a dagger in your heart, you'll not be smiling at the foolish things she's doing or she's doing. You'll not be supporting, I don't want to lose my child, therefore I will do it this way. You've lost him already, you've lost her already to the Broadway. But when you take your stand and you say, boy, you know where I stand. Like my own children, I'm talking to you personally, they know where I stand. And they know, wherever they go, whatever they do, whatever report I hear, I say they're of age. That one is 40, that one is about 38, and I say they know what they're doing, and I don't worry myself a bit, and I don't try to do anything to draw them and hook them and compromise. If I'm nearer the grave, I'm nearer the coming of the Lord and day, and so if I compromise now and then I die in compromise, those children may come back eventually and said, we killed our father by our action. And now he's gone. And then if I go to the wrong place, and then they repent after that, and then they go to heaven, what have I gained? I'm going to stand. I said I'm going to stand. Any boy, any girl may do anything and go anywhere. You stand in your life in Jesus' name. Another amen. The narrow path that leads to life eternal. Look at number two there. Number two there, perilously walking in the broad way of the lost. Look at that verse 13 again in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. It says, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. That leadeth to destruction. There are some times some of our people, they're not really totally inside. When we have Bible study Monday, they come. Thursday, they come. Sunday, they come. At after they leave our service, they run to another place. They say, that's where I enjoy worship. I enjoy the dancing. I enjoy all the things that take place in that place. They come to us and they claim they are our members, and then they go that other place. The problem is when they come back, they say, why is it like this? Why can't they change and modify and be like that other place? They want to now not only control one or two people, they want to control the whole church, that the whole church will be like the Broadway fellowship they have been going to. And they put the pressure on us. They do it this way, they do it that way, so that we will turn the deeper life to shallow life, superficial life, so that all the things they have seen over there, they bring everything here, and then there's no hope for the Christian faith because everybody has gone the direction of the Broadway. I will not join them. Whatever happens, whatever the pressure, whatever the trial, whatever the temptation, and whatever the complaint, and whatever anybody says, I've gone too far to go back again. I'm on my way to heaven. Anybody there? I said I'm on my way to heaven, and it is this narrow path that leads to life eternal, and nobody will twist my hand, shut my mouth, close my eyes, pinch my heart, and then draw me and drag me to the Broadway. Even my dead body will not be in that Broadway. Your life, that you come to the Lord, that you say, this is the way, I will walk therein, the grace of God will help you. And the power of the Lord will sustain you in Jesus' name. Look at number three there. Number three there is purposefully walking in the way of the Lord. Purposefully, purposefully walking in the way of the Lord. Isaiah chapter 35. Isaiah chapter 35. I'm reading from verse 8. And a highway shall be there, and a way. It shall be called the way of holiness. That's the way of the Lord. It shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those the wayfaring men. The fools shall not err therein. You will not err in the way of God. He has put your feet on a path, on a way, on the road that leads to eternal life. You will not turn back. No, never, 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 you will not turn back in Jesus' name. The Lord will help you. The Lord will sustain you. His grace will be abundant in your life. And the life of Christ that he lived to please the Almighty God, that same life will be reproduced in your life in Jesus' name. And not only you, you will influence many other people, and they will not influence you and take you back to the Broadway. You will influence many other people, and you'll walk together in this narrow path that leads to heaven. You and your wife, you and your husband, you and your children, you and your parents, you and your co-workers, you and your friends, and you and everyone around you, you will walk. It will not be a past tense. I used to walk, I used to believe, I used to stand, I used to stay in the way of the Lord. But at the present hour, every day of your life, you will continue in that way of the Lord in Jesus' name. Personally and purposefully and perseveringly, every step of the way in your life, you will walk in the way of the Lord in Jesus' name. And look at this, and it says, the unclean shall not pass over it. Once you're unclean, once you are defiled, Once you are sinful, you're no more in the narrow path that leads to heaven. The unclean shall not pass over it. And then it says, the lion shall not be there, the violent shall not be there, the pugnacious shall not be there. The people that love strife, and they love violence, and they love a thing that will not bring peace, only commotion, they will not be in the narrow path that leads them. Look at verse 9 here. In verse 9 it says, no lion shall be there. That nature of the lion, that nature of strife, and that nature of evil, that nature of the beast, I will not have the nature of Christ and the nature of the Redeemer. That nature of the lion must be taken out, must be uprooted before you can walk in that path that leads to heaven. And it says, no, any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. Ravenous beast, the people that destroy, and the people that disorganize, and the people that spoil the way of the Lord. It says they shall not be there, they shall not be found there, but the redeemed of the Lord shall walk there. Are you there? I said, are you there? The redeemed of the Lord shall walk there. Look at verse 10. In verse 10, and the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their head, and they shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Somebody shout amen. Genesis chapter 18, I'm reading from verse 19. Genesis chapter 18, we're looking at verse 19. It says, for I know him, God talking about Abraham, the man of faith, and the man that lived by faith, and the man that conscientiously walked by faith. He said, I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord. The Lord should be able to testify concerning you, concerning me, concerning us. He will teach his children, he will teach his members, he will teach the church, that they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. Malachi chapter 2, I'm reading from verse 6. Malachi chapter 2, we're looking at verse 6. It says, the law of truth was in his mouth. He wants the truth to be in our mouth, in our heart, and out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. He wants that truth. Truth in its entirety, truth without modification, and truth without alteration, and truth without any mutilation. It says the law of truth was in his mouth, iniquity was not found in his lips. He walked with me in peace and equity, and did turn, look at this, and did turn away many from iniquity. That's the life he wants for us. That's the life he delights in. That's the word, that's the life is going to reward, that should live an upright life, a righteous life, a holy life, an impeccable life, a life, uncompromising life. And then you influence others, you teach others, you prevail on others, that they too will walk in that way of righteousness all the days of our lives. Is that possible? I said, is that possible? It will be done. Revelation chapter 3, I'm reading from verse 4. Revelation chapter 3, verse 4. Here is the word of Jesus. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments. They shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. When you walk with the Lord in the present life, in the present generation, in the present dispensation, when you walk with the Lord in his word, in his way, when you walk with the Lord uprightly, righteously, and you walk conscientiously, consistently, and you walk daily at every opportunity you are walking with the Lord, then eventually you'll walk with him in white, because you are worthy. Look at verse 5. In verse 5, he that overcometh, he that overcometh, the people who succumb, they'll not make it. The people who are conquered, they'll not make it. The people who are subjected to evil and they compromise, they'll not make it. But the people that overcome, any overcomer there today, you'll overcome in Jesus' name. You'll overcome the flesh, you'll overcome the foe, and you'll overcome all the things, the filthiness of the world in Jesus' name. And it is that overcoming life, the life of faith, the life of faithfulness, the life of righteousness, the life of holiness, every day in our lives, that is the life that will make it on the final day. It says, he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life. When you overcome, you are not overcome by temptation. You are not crushed by temptation. You are not subdued by temptation. And every time you have triumph, and you live triumphantly and victoriously, he says he will not blot out your name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. I will be there when the trumpet sounds and the dead in Christ are raised up, and then we which are alive were raised up and caught up together to be with the Lord in the air, and forever we will be with the Lord. I pray you'll be there on that final day. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you unto myself, so that where I am, there ye will be also. I will be there. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is seated on the right hand of majesty on high. Set your heart, set your mind, set your goal, set your focus, and set your gaze on things above and not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is seen with Christ in God. And when he shall appear, then shall we also appear with him, and his glory he will give unto us in Jesus' name. It takes a life of decision, a life of dedication, a life of complete surrender and commitment unto the Lord. And it is not that you do it now and then when temptation, trial, pressure comes tomorrow during the week, then you go back, but you are consistent, you are conscientious, and you are constant, and you are following after the Lord courageously. And on that final day, when the roll is called up yonder, I will be there. I will be there. I will be there. Why don't you rise up and tell the Lord, he's called us to walk in his way. He's called us to walk in his word. He's called us to walk in everything he has revealed unto us. It takes salvation, that's how to enter. It takes salvation, that has to enter. And in sanctification, you are walking by him, and the power of the Holy Ghost in your life, that's what it takes. Call upon the Lord and say, Lord, whatever I need, whatever it will take, I want to have, so that I will have dominion every day in my life. I'll have dominion over everything that may come my way.